But I mean, he could, he did, he had an extraordinary repertoire. He had a huge repertoire, all of which I gather he learned before he was 20. And when he was in his 20s, he gave, I think, 20 or 25 concerts in one season without repeating a single piece. But then after that, when Rachmaninoff had dedicated the third piano concerto to him, he never played, never learned it. And when they asked him why, he said, too many notes. I mean, this actually, it gets harder and harder for musicians to memorize things as they get older. And Hoffmann had this extraordinary memory when he was young, and he had this huge repertoire. And he played huge amounts of it. People said that in his programs it was rather limited, but that's not true. Did things like the Schumann F-sharp minor sonata and the Beethoven the Hammerklavier. He played all that in public still. And when he was in the good mood for it, it was absolutely extraordinary. The other thing that I remember is that, that he actually contradicts a great many of the myths that one has about the pianists of the 1920s. We very often hear that they all played rhythmically very freely, that they never played with their hands together. There is a beautiful recording that Hoffmann did, I think 1924, of the C-sharp minor waltz of Chopin, in which in the outer sections he plays with his hands absolutely together, and in the inner section, which is very lyrical, the hands are very slightly apart. I mean, that must be the real old tradition of rubato. One of the meanings of rubato is to play with the hands apart like that. And it was not used all the time. It was sort of not smeared like expression over everything. And also Hoffmann's playing, he did use certain rhythmic freedoms, but the playing was almost, most of the time, close to metronomic. There is even, in fact, that the recording of the Second Hungarian Rhapsody of Liszt is in some ways out of style because the opening is marked a capriccioso, supposed to be, very, very freely, and Hoffmann plays it almost in absolutely strict time. It's also the noblest performance that I know. The playing was extremely aristocratic and very noble and very reserved. That's also, one should remember, if you see in the films that they have of Hoffmann, was exactly as I remember, he made almost no particular gesture. He sat very simply at the keyboard and played, except for a fortissimo where he would raise his hand above his head and bring it down. That was about the only gesture of any kind that was in that one could see him. It was very extraordinary playing, and that it was the elegance and the variety of sound. I mean, I know of nobody who controlled the sound of the keyboard the way he did. He was really a great musician, and that he never flaunted it. That it was never dogmatic, and it was very often there was kind of improvised effects. He used to amuse himself, as most of the pianists at that time did. Like Levine and others, of bringing out inner voices, sometimes rather surprisingly, sometimes not terribly successfully for the music, but the understanding of the structure of the piece was really extraordinary. And